Spark a conversation, verbal elation, stimulation, education. This is Minaj with the Mary Jane Maven. When we on the air, it's always a lituation. Might talk about some litigation, might talk about some immigration, might talk about some politics, but never talk nonsense. Yes, we on in this live. Watch and listen, it's a vibe. Watch it while you getting high, or you can listen while you drive. Just don't forget to subscribe.
Roll up. I'm trying to get high.
Welcome to Minaj with the Mary Jane Maven podcast with your host, the Mary Jane Maven. I am the producer, the hubby. Follow us on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Show us some love and click that subscribe button now. Don't forget to click the bell so you get notifications and click the like button on the videos.
And now, your host.
Hello, everybody. You know who it is. Your girl. It's the Mary Jane Maven. Welcome back. You know who you're with. You know where you are. Minaj with the Mary Jane Maven. Please, before I get started, you guys know you've been with me almost four years now. I'm getting really into the process of suggesting that you like, subscribe, share, comment. You guys know I thrive off of, you know, communication. So the more contact you have with me, the better the content is. So we're going to get started tonight with an episode that is a little bit different. But you guys know that I love to use my platform, to remind you guys that you have to pursue your passion and purpose. We all have a purpose within this universe. We all have a purpose within this life of ours. And the sooner that you're able to identify that and pursue that and live every day within your passion and purpose, it makes for a much better life. So today we're going to be talking to someone who I cross paths with through social media. Once again, this is probably the first time in a very long time the contact has been made through Facebook. You guys also know how I feel about, you know, about that. But this is going to be an episode that I think will touch a lot of you, because I think that a lot of us have stories and, you know, the desire, you know, the ability, the content to create a bit of yourself, leave something that speaks for you, leave a footprint of significance in your name, in the history books, you know, in our society. I know that sounds kind of like just so grand, but really what it is that we do, especially in those of us that are creating content, artists, authors, novelists, you know, go on so forth and so on. We're going to be leaving a bit of our story and our legacy within the footprint of the history of the society and who we are. So today I have someone who is going to be sharing her journey, her passion, her purpose. She goes by Waterfall Adams. I do want to thank her so much for coming into the podcast today.
Well, thanks for having me.
No, you're very welcome. I want to thank you for coming. So
you're welcome.
We're first going to find out, you know, what brought you here today? We can go ahead and start at birth. And then now you're here. Fill us in on what's happened between. What brings you here and what is your passion and purpose to share with everybody today?
Well, I was born in Paducah, Kentucky, raised in Mobile, Alabama.
Okay.
I always did want a career in the arts.
Okay.
I have an art history degree.
Nice.
With a minor in dramatic arts from University of South Alabama.
Nice.
Thank you. I received it in December of 2013. It just, I worked my butt off to get my degree and I intend on using it.
I bet. Because there's so many of us who attend college, and I think it's a normal thing. You attend college for one thing, and then you end up working in a just entirely different field. And a lot of times, people aren't pursuing their true passions and their purpose. So I like your attitude where I worked hard to get this damn degree. I'm going to go ahead and use that. Which
especially like my first semester, I took 5 classes and I couldn't handle it, and I got on academic probation. Next semester, I took 4 classes. Yeah. I could handle that. And then another semester, I took 5 classes again. I had to drop a class before I ended my academic probation again.
No,
and my major was art studio at first. But then it turns out I was doing much better in art history classes than I did in art studio. So art history it is.
Yes. Well, see, you're just sharing a very normal common, I'll say, story for those of us that enter college. You go in, you want to complete your classes. I mean, it's a real different thing than being in high school where you're told these are the classes you have to take. When you get into college, there's so many options and you're really trying to discover what you like to do and you want to make your 4 to 5 years there. You want to make it a success. So I can definitely relate. I was on academic probation probably more than once and definitely not only in my first year. So I have to give you kudos for that. You're able to pivot.
Yes.
Second semester, find out what worked for you. Yeah.
Well, before South, after I graduated from high school, I went to Bishop State Community College and I had to repeat a couple courses.
Yeah. Yeah. Community college is just it's a step above high school. Like they give you a little more freedom. Yes. You get to choose your classes, but it's too much freedom, I think, you know, if you're not prepared. Community college is a great, you know, stepping stone onto a traditional 4-year, but you definitely have to be at a maturity level or, you know what exactly your path is. And, you know, community college really allows for a lot of mistakes to be made because you don't have that guidance that you should have unless you go and look for it. So, yeah. So you attended school for art. So tell us a little bit about your art experience. I know that you also do have an online gallery, which we'll be sharing all of her social media, all of the links to get to her work, to get in contact with her. Just like always, you guys will have all that information within the footnotes of the story of the episode, excuse me, and of course on the podcast. So you guys will be able to get that. But tell us a little bit about your journey within art.
Well, I do have performing experience.
Okay.
I remember singing in church choirs and school choirs. I also remember when I was in high school, I was in the African American club and I remember participating in their Black History programs.
Mm-hmm.
And on one program, my senior year, I remember I portrayed Beyonce and it was during that, remember Crazy in Love?
Oh, yeah.
I got rave reviews for that one.
Okay. So you've always had it in you to be a little bit of a performer, to be creative. I definitely pick up the energy from you that creating and being someone who's leaving their mark in an art form is very important to you. It seems like that's something that you have a talent for.
Yes.
When did you first kind of discover that?
Yeah, I do love to dance. Like, for example, when I was when I was a baby, my mom told me I danced a certain way. And then I was a few months old when we went to my dad's birth country of Antigua.
Okay.
Well, my mom saw some grown women. They danced the way I did.
Oh,
so that might have been hereditary or something.
You're out there doing it, huh? It was in you. It was in hereditary. It was deep within your genes to be able to get that rhythm and dance, you know, the kind of island dancing. That's a beautiful area.
Yeah, and beautiful. I also remember I participated in a talent show when I was in the 5th grade. I won third place. My dad gave me $3. He told me if I won first place, he would have gave me $1.
What do you remember doing? Do you remember exactly what your routine was?
I remember I danced to a song. It was on I forget what the song's called, but I remember it was on the smooth jazz band called Foreplay, and the record was called Between the Sheets. It was like one of their songs. on okay. there.
Okay, not the Isley Brothers Between the Sheets, but just some on an album.
It was like a cover. Like an album title. It's like a cover. It featured Chaka Khan. Philip Bailey was in the background. Cool. I remember growing up listening to different kinds of music, like gospel, reggae, R&B, hip hop, rock.
Me too. What's your favorite song ever?
This is so many. It's hard to choose from, but one of them is Send One Your Love by Stevie Wonder. I have listened to a lot of covers of that song.
Okay. Okay. One of Stevie Wonder's songs was played at my wedding. I mean, you can't have a wedding without Stevie Wonder. It just
Ribbon in the Sky. That sounds like a wedding song.
Yes.
Have you heard of
that's what it was.
Have you ever heard one With Each Beat of My Heart from Steve? It's from his album Characters.
Yes. Okay. I do. And as soon as you said that, I'm picturing the album cover from my parents having it. So I listened to it, you know, when I was younger. I still am. I love music, but I do remember just grabbing stacks of my parents' albums and playing them. Mary Jane Girls, Prince, Oh my gosh, Sting.
Michael Jackson.
It was the Police back in the day. Oh, definitely Michael Jackson on the gospel level. Oh yes, definitely. R.I.P. The Clark Sisters, you know, on the gospel tip. You know, the albums that they would order off of BET. Like
there was a collaboration. Well, back in the 90s,
who in the hell left the gate open? Yes.
I remember like on Sundays, there used to be a show called Video Gospel. And this one it's one song from BBC CC Wine's called Heaven. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite gospel songs.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, definitely. My grandfather was a preacher, was a pastor. He had his own church. So I grew up in that. My family's from Jackson, Mississippi, but they moved here to California in the 50s. So, you know, deep down, they're from Jackson. Mm-hmm. So Bobby Jones,
In fact, that was one of the first shows on BET.
Yeah, that was a regular show. Yeah, you're right. That was, you know, now you
is
can't
that
find...
Mass Choir of his?
Oh, yes. Mississippi Mass Choir was my favorite. Hezekiah Walker. Just growing up, in my teen years, there was a couple like Hezekiah Walker. Oh, my gosh. Why can't I remember his name? Kirk Franklin. I don't know why I almost forgot that.
I remember Stomp. Remember Stomp?
Yeah.
I remember when I used to go skating when I was like a kid in my early teens.
Yeah. And they played
that. It was people trying to stomp in their skates.
Yes. Imagine it was in the club. It was played in the club. I was just about 19, 20 when that came out. So I was still in the new part of the clubs, the 18 and overs. But they played that in the clubs. But what I really loved was like Silver and Gold. Until We Meet Again. Like that was... Oh, yeah. The Kirk Franklin that I really love. So
Kirk Franklin and the Family.
Yeah. Yeah. 1000%. Yeah. Just so look a little connection makes here. See, it's music. Music brings everything together. And especially worship and spirit and have that spiritual side.
Speaking of music, there's like a poem I wrote. It's either in my second book or my first. Here it is. It's from my book, Free to Be Thee. It's called We Invented Rock and Roll. Sorry, this book fell over. It's down. Here we go. From the roots of gospel, grew into some blues in the country that has some jump in rhythm, of course. Add that jazz. Don't forget that boogie woogie. People tend to forget that a King's hit came from a big mama. A church lady gave an architect the building blocks to build a music that can go hard, get heavy, be glam, be soft, be electric, played in a garage, and have folks rocking and rolling all over the world.
Nice.
Okay, can I explain that point, please?
Please do. I was just going to ask, what was your inspiration? I mean, I definitely get it. But I think you have to have an appreciation for art, for poems or poetry and for music to gather it all. But I think that's beautiful. So please do share your inspiration and break it down for us.
All right. After I break it down, I'm going to explain how I got into poetry when I'm done. I might read from the my debut book right here. Don't accidentally fell on the floor again. Like gospel, have you ever heard of Rosetta, my sister Rosetta Tharpe?
She sounds familiar. I think so. I may be thinking of something else, though. But it sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Or she.
Yeah, you might want to look her up and hear how she plays the guitar.
Okay.
And also that. You heard of like the origins of gospel and blues, country music. Mm-hmm. Like the early blues is like blues, but then by the time like the Great Depression and the World War II came along, the blues had a little more jump to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like rhythm and blues. And so woogie.
Originated. Mm-hmm.
And you heard you know who like, the king of R&B is.
Not
R&B,
know.
But the king of rock and roll was.
Yes, I've heard. Well, B.B. King.
Rock and roll. Elvis.
Did I say B.B. King? Elvis. They said Elvis, but Elvis got inspiration from like Little Richard and, you know, the gentleman that came before him. So, yeah, I'm right there with you, though. You know, we hear different stories and different ideas, but I think that if you really look into the history of music, you're going to find that a lot of its origination, a lot of its inspiration came from people that were of color, from Black people,
True. You
know, right from Africa, if you really want to be, you know, completely honest with
Trump
it.
Trump came from there, so why not?
Yeah, yeah, that's where the beat comes from. Yeah.
Like the King's hit came from a Big Mama. You know, in the song, Hound Dog? Remember, you know Big Mama Thornton?
Okay.
Yeah,
I've heard of
her.
It in the movie. Yes, I heard about it in the Elvis movie. That's the reason why. But yeah. Yeah. And Elvis got his inspiration from being around, of course, Black people, but being around a church. Mm-hmm. He went to a Black church.
Just like, what's that? Oh, yeah, James Brown. He got his egg from church.
Mm-hmm.
And also I meant, and also like a church lady, like I mentioned again, Rosetta, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, the architect of rock and roll was, you know, wop baba loop wop bam boom.
Yes. Jerry Lewis. Yes.
No. Little Richard.
Yes. And I thought Jerry Lewis covered that. So Jerry Lewis covered that song after.
And I also heard another one, either him or Pat Boone covered that one. Yeah, they covered it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, because they did a lot of that.
Covering is a lot different than covering today.
Yes. I get you. Wonderful. That makes a lot of sense. So you have a lot of your inspiration and your poetry. It seems like it actually comes from real events. It comes from history, as well as just your inspiration to be able to put these words down and have it make sense. When did you discover that you had that talent?
Well, I remember I've been write poetry probably since high school. Like wrote simple poems for guy friends.
Okay.
And also, there's a poem in the book that I just read from. I'm trying to adapt it into stage and or screen. I'm reading a book from Barbara S. Glass. It's like African American dance and illustrated history, a book I got from my local library of taking notes and stuff that I do to research, not only just the dances, but the music and the costumes and makeup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I love that. So I hope you guys take away from everything that she's saying. It takes a lot of work. It takes appropriate steps to be able to get something from a vision or a thought and see it through fruition. I mean, it seems like you're very good about that. I mean, you mentioned going to the library. Half of the listeners may not even know what a library is, honestly. Everybody finds everything online. Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
It's a place.
Yeah.
It's a place where the books are. Where yes. you open the book like this.
And actually read them. Touch the paper, smell the ink, smell the printing, you know.
And it's a lot more than just books. They have computers in there now. Yeah. Different yeah. events happen in libraries.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. Yeah.
People get different services
mm-hmm.
done at the library.
Especially now. Yeah. During the summer, a lot of them will supply food and things to children during the summer. You know, if they're one of the central meeting spots in your city or town. So yes, we're teaching guys today. We're being tongue in cheek, but really being serious as well. The library is a place that you should venture into. Reading books and like the act of turning the pages, smelling it, you know, that is an experience within itself. It's something different than listening to an audiobook or reading it on your computer or your phone. And you can see that if you have a vision library. For something. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
One of them I go to is called Hoopla Digital. It's like a library, but it's like an app, website.
Okay. Though. Okay. So you can find it digitally, but would you, if somebody said, should I read it online or should I go into the library? Which would you recommend?
I would recommend both just in case it's not available in the library. You can go online.
Okay. So you have options. Definitely. I like it. So you've been writing, you know, right. Just tapping into that creative aspect of yourself for some time. Tell us about, because you mentioned you have two books. So tell us a little bit about the process on how you got to writing those books and publishing them.
Well, some of these books I recited in different like events, like talent shows when I was at South. Okay. I didn't win, but I didn't get booed though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the poems on the first book right here, there was an event called Arts Inspired Road to Creation, and that poem had to make it on the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to read it right now, if you
please
let.
Do.
It's called Art Is. A word that is described as fine as wine, yet hard to define. A word that lets you go anywhere you want to in your imagination. A word that lets you know that anything is possible and allows you to dream. The word lets you break all molds, rules, conformities, and conventions. Do whatever it is that you want to do. Take something someone else already did or whatever inspires you and make it yours. Like a cover to a song. It is where you are the one in control. What I am talking about is the art you eat, the art you wear, the art you read, the art you hear, the art that you move to and moves you, the art you laugh to, the art you see and watch, the art you go to and live in. That is what art means to me. Thank you.
Oh. Give snaps.